Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all. Who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful men. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful men. Reading from Romans chapter 9, once again, God's holy word given to the church at Rome, given to us as well. Romans chapter 9, beginning at verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory? Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he said in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass, in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved, and he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom, and made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Let's give thanks for these words, the way of the gospel. And as we can read in the next chapter, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The way of faith is the way of salvation for time and eternity, and we only have it through the word of God. Pray that we'll have a right understanding of it. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks that thou hast so loved the world that thou didst give him, thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We give thanks, Father, for that message of the gospel, that good news. We also give thanks for all the rest of Scripture that calls us both to repentance and faith, and also calls us to obedience, calls us to believe in thee and what thou art, and all of what thou hast done, as Creator and Lawgiver, and especially we give thanks that thou art through Christ, the Redeemer. We pray, Father, that we might know that message of redemption, that we might know it to the place that we know our need of it, and know that we do have it. And we pray, Father, for that to be taught. We pray for that to be taught more in the church, and that it might increase more in the world of hearing it and becoming believers that might be added to the church even once again daily, such as should be saved, as we can read of at the time of Pentecost. And now, Father, we see many leaving the church, and sadly, especially the young people. We pray that thou would bring back to their remembrance the word that they have, make the church to preach it, and we pray again that thou would make many to hear it in our individual lives, in our homes, in our churches, and in the nation, then throughout the world, both Jew and Gentile. We pray for these blessings to be given because of Christ, according to thy word, and we give thanks that there are promises in that word, that it will be done before the end, before thy coming again, Lord Jesus, that there will be many gathered in. We pray that those things promised might take place in our lifetime, if it could be thy will, for both Jew and Gentile. We also give thanks for the temporal blessings that we have. Thou dost tell us, having food and raiment, there would to be content. And we give thanks that we have it in such wonderful ways. And we pray for those who are suffering, who do not have homes, that are homes destroyed in so many different ways in the calamities in nature and the wars. We pray, Father, for them and for the help that is given to them, and especially that through it, they might realize that we have here no abiding city, but will be made to look to that city of whom thou art the builder and the maker, even in their calamities. We pray for those in sickness, that thou would give healing and health. We pray for those in sorrow, that thou would give comfort. We pray for our homes, and especially the broken homes. We pray that thou would teach the church thy word concerning marriage, and divorce, and remarriage. We pray that the church may see its delinquency and its disobedience, not heeding thy word, not teaching it rightly, being more with the world than thy word. And we pray especially for the children in the broken homes, that thou would guide and protect them and give them what they need. We pray for many other needs that there are in the schools, in areas of suffering, the hungry. We pray that thou would give the blessings in nature where there is suffering. We ask it all and give thanks through Christ. Amen. As we again look at these words from Paul writing to the church at Rome, who in the 11th chapter describes himself as the apostle of the Gentiles, and as especially we saw last week, written to both, addressing particularly the Jews in the 2nd chapter, but here he writes of both Jew and Gentile. In the first verse that we read, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? As we read this, we think of other scriptures we can read, both to Israel and also in the church, and of Christ. We think of God stating by the pen of Ezekiel that he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but the wicked would turn from his way and live. We also read of Christ Jesus weeping over Jerusalem and giving the command to preach the gospel to every creature. As Paul said to the Athenians, God commands all men everywhere to repent. And when we pray the prayer that the Lord Jesus taught us to pray, not only that God's name would be hallowed, but also that his kingdom would come and his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, we must see all of the scripture to know God's will. Here we read, what if God, willing to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? We know that it is also God's will that men repent, that they come to believe the gospel. We have to see it in its different settings and its different ways. We have to see it in the way of God's plan already before the foundation of the world, and we have to see it, as we read in the earlier chapters, of God's predestination and God's election. We have to read it also in the way of Christ's command to the apostles on the evening of his resurrection, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. These things do not contradict each other. They are part of the whole truth that we have to believe. We have to think of it as we are responsible to hear that word as he commands it. We saw that last week as we went back to the 2nd chapter where we read of Paul's words, both to Jews and to Gentiles, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor, immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons. As we said last week, at times, God deals with us according to our works, gives us blessing or cursing. But in the main and in the whole, and especially in the light of eternal life, it is not by our works, but it is by faith. And we read the last part of this chapter here when the question was asked in verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. We must hear God's holy law that commands us to obey, and particularly in the way of love. It is there. It is to be heard. It is to be made known. It is to be believed and obeyed. But also, we are to be made to realize, though we should do that, we are called to do it, we are commanded to do it, we have not done it. And then it becomes a schoolmaster to show us our guilt and show us that we need to be saved not by our works, which we have not done, cannot be done, only by faith in another. Faith in Christ, who gave glory to God, living perfectly for those number of years, and then died in our place, died for those who did not keep the law. Paul leads into that in the last part of this chapter as well, when he comes to, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And it is by that, Paul writes to another church, "not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by faith we are saved through grace, not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So all of these things need to be understood, believed, and submitted to. That's why Christ said, "except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." We have to receive these words as little children. We saw the warning in the previous verses, verse 20 of this ninth chapter, "But nay, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus?" There is no place for rebellion. None. There is no place to speak against God. We are to submit. We are to see that God is just in all things. I've heard people say, "Where's justice?" as if it wasn't there. They felt they were being dealt with in a way that was not fair. Justice is the wages of sin is death. That's justice. And we are sinners. But as the song stated, sinners Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall. And as we have been studying some of that in the earlier part of this ninth chapter and also the eighth chapter, there are truths there that are not received by many. There are those who openly declare they don't believe it and are called by the names of those who have not believed it of the past. One of the things that I would mention is these teachings against the truth were there at the time of Jonathan Edwards, before the Great Awakening, and the people, for the most part, did not submit to God's way. They did not submit to the way of salvation by grace alone. All of it by grace, from beginning to end. Not just the grace of the cross, but the grace also of the Holy Spirit, having to call us, justify us, save us by His work in us. As Christ said, "except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Further instruction to Nicodemus, "except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So the gospel is there before us. God, as I said, by the pen of Ezekiel, does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked, but the wicked would turn from his way. That's the call to all men. But also the truth is that for those who are saved, it is not by our works. It is not even by our choice. We would not make the right choice. We read that both in God's message to Israel and to the church. To Israel, God looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did understand, and there was none. If there were any that did seek God, there was none. Paul repeated the same thing in the third chapter here to this church. As it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." That leaves all men wrong before God. None that seeketh. So then, how is anyone saved? By God calling in such a way, with a call that cannot be resisted. We sometimes call it the irresistible call. It is God giving the new birth, God making us willing, as we read in Psalm 110, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." That brings about the change from one not wanting to believe, loving darkness rather than light, hating the light, as Christ said also to Nicodemus. That comes out here in the next verse, verse 23, "that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory." I would never have been saved if God didn't prepare me by humbling, by turning, by giving a call that could not be resisted. The way of repentance that he gives. We can read the summary of it. When Peter went to Cornelius, after he came back, some of the people thought he shouldn't have went to the Gentiles, but the conclusion was, then hath God granted repentance unto life to the Gentiles. God granted repentance. Yes, God commands all men everywhere to repent. That is His command. He commands us to believe. But none do believe, according to God's word, until the Spirit changes us. That's what we read here, that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom He hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. It was among some of the Jews, but, as Paul sometimes said, when the Jews did not want to believe, he says, seeing you cast it from you, lo, we go to the Gentiles. That is brought out further in the next verse, as he said in Hosea, I will call them my people which were not my people, and our beloved which was not beloved. Paul gives the reason for that further in chapter 11 and verse 12. Now if the fall of them was for the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Israel fell away from God. They refused Christ. Then the blessing went to the Gentiles and has been there through the years. The Jews as a whole do not believe that the Messiah has come. I've talked to Jewish teachers that said Jesus was a good teacher, but not the Messiah. And others take a much stronger stand and actually hate that name. And I've read of those that do. As we read here a moment ago from that 11th chapter, their fullness is going to come. God said so, and it will come in His time, in His way. The only hope for either Jew or Gentile, that God gives a call that changes us, a call that's irresistible, a call that's powerful. Let me say it again, a call that's powerful. Not as one well-known evangelist said, God is powerless unless you let Him. There's never been a bigger lie told than that. If we believe that, we better not pray the Lord's Prayer. That ends with, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It has been there, it's there now, and it will be there forever. God doesn't always manifest the power in the same way and to the same extent, but He can. He did manifest it on the day of Pentecost. Christ told the apostles to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. And then they were given the power to preach it as they did. And the power manifested itself that when the preaching was there, the sinners were pricked in their heart. They were humbled and asked, what must we do? They were told, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. 3,000 on that day were converted, saved, gladly received the word, and were baptized. Those same people had been there earlier, the time of the Passover, shortly before that, were probably part of the crowd that wanted Jesus crucified. And that's why Peter said to them, you with wicked hands have crucified Jesus of Nazareth. And now they were humbled. God's power manifested itself on that time. Peter even explained it as what Joel said would take place. He said, this is that which Joel spoke of. God poured out His Spirit in a mighty way. And that's what we need so badly today, for the church and the home. And only if we have that will sinners be saved. And only if we have that will our homes be healed. And only if we have that will it change our country. It must come from God's power, from God's grace, from God's glory manifesting itself in the preaching of the word, the hearing of the word, the believing of the word, the obeying and submitting to the word as little children. What must we do? And that is all included when we read that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom He hath called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. We should pray for more labors to be preaching that, as Jonathan Edwards did, but especially we should pray for the Spirit of God. Like the psalmist said, Psalm 80, turn us, O Lord, and we shall be turned when Thy face shines once more. We need to pray, especially to pray to understand the promises. They aren't understood together. The church is divided. There are those who do not believe such awakening and blessing is going to come. Again, reading from Romans 11. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Paul is speaking of something that's going to come. I know there are those who just want to understand this as if it will be fulfilled in the church, and not particularly in the Jews that Paul is speaking of, the difference between Jew and Gentile. He states further in that 11th chapter, for if the casting away of them be for the reconciling of the world, how much more shall the receiving them be but life from the dead? What a statement. Something to pray for, that might come in our time. It will come in God's time. It will come in God's way. But as we read in Ezekiel, when he also promises blessing, he said he would be inquired of for these things. That means to be asked. As much as anything else is needed today, it is prayer. Prayer for God's Spirit to be given. Prayer for God's Spirit to teach the church that's there now to repent, to become one, to endure sound doctrine, to preach the gospel rightly, and many other things that we can do right today, and blessing on what's there less than a year ago. The church is less today. Should not be that way, but it is. And we have to pray that that will be reversed. Our homes are worsening. We have to pray that that will be changed. Our nation is worsening. And we have to pray for those in authority over us, that they will be restrained by God when they're wicked, that they will be taught by God so they will become more righteous and can then live a quiet and peaceable life. All these things are very necessary to pray for, but also to do what we must do, like Edwards did when the Great Awakening came. He preached. He preached the way of faith. He preached the way of trusting in God. He preached the way against the lies that were there and false doctrine. He preached against what the young people were doing and the older people were doing as well. And there was a change in both doctrine and life. He summed it up afterwards, stating, God began extraordinarily to work amongst us. And then he spoke of sinners being saved. And yes, again, we can think of the words of the song. Not only that first stanza, but the second one, come, and he will give you rest. Trust him, for his word is plain. He will take the sinfulest. Christ receiveth sinful men. And the last stanza, Christ receiveth sinful men, even me with all my sin, purged from every spot and stain. Heaven with him I enter in. And then we are told to sing it. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful men. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful men. That's the sum of it all. Christ receiveth sinful men.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.